Okay, so we are back for another episode of Lock It or Leave It. This is a great episode. We have one of the vets. He's been here since the very beginning when we were unranked, and now look at us. We're going national title contenders every time. Justin Linder will be joining us after this break. Don't go anywhere. All right, so we are back, and as always, I am your host, Jay, and joining me as usual is my co-host, Cam. Cam, how you doing, man? What's going on?
I'm doing okay. It was a rough weekend from a sports fan perspective. Florida State lost, and then the Bears got destroyed on Sunday. Justin Fields was running for his life from Myles Garrett all day. But other than that, excited to get into this episode.
Yeah, quick stat that you're not going to like for sure, Cam. It was that Justin Fields was sacked for a combined total of 29 yards. His entire passing was 29 yards, counting all the yards that he lost also. So he did not literally get a yard.
You watched the Eurostep move that Myles Garrett went viral for what he did to that poor, poor Bears lineman. Like that, what do you expect Justin Fields to do?
It's Matt Nagy, man. But let's keep going on to the next co-host, which is Aaron. Aaron, just got back from St. Pete. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing great. Feels good to be back. Ready to have another big week with the podcast and school, and hopefully get a win against Syracuse this weekend. Just got my ticket for that, so that's pretty exciting. And also, my Tampa Bay Lightning start their quest for the third consecutive Stanley Cup tonight, playing Carolina in the first preseason game of the year. So hopefully that goes well. It probably will. We beat him pretty bad in the playoffs last year. So looking forward to another good NHL season as well.
Yeah, quickly, Justin, are you a Predators fan?
No, I don't really watch hockey too much.
Okay, I got you.
My dad's been a Buffalo Sabres fan because, you know, he's from Buffalo.
I got you. So let's go on to a new person we have for an interview today. And he actually is one of the founders of Knoll Zone. And, they just kind of work out with the student section of basketball, and they do a lot of things around FSU. They're kind of branching off into women's soccer too. Shout out to the women's soccer team, who is absolutely wrecking everybody right now, the number one team in the nation. But Jake Mossing, how are you doing, man? Thanks for coming on.
I'm great. Thanks for having me, Jay. Super excited to be on the episode today. This weekend for me is pretty good. I'm a big Saints fan, so watching Jameis sauce on the Patriots is nice. And college football's crazy right now. This weekend I'm headed up to Athens, Georgia. Going to watch Georgia take on Arkansas. Top 10 matchup. College game day is going to be there. Should be a good time.
Absolutely, man. You're going to have a weekend. But going on to the last person, but not least, the special guest we have for today, Justin Linder, the absolute vet. He's been here. He's seen it all, man. Justin, and I actually saw some of your highlights for FSU. You were doing behind-the-back bounce passes to people who are yamming. So I see it. So, Justin, thank you for joining us today. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing great. Excited to be on the podcast. Since we're talking football, I got to go with my Buffalo Bills. They're going to be in the Super Bowl this year. And I don't know if they'll play Tampa or the Rams. We'll see. But either way, I'm excited to be on the podcast. And hopefully FSU can get some wins coming up. I don't know how many wins you think they'll have on the year. I'm predicting 3, but that's pretty generous. I don't know. We'll see.
Hey, I love a Bucks-Bills Super Bowl. That'd be a lot of fun. I mean, when we're healthy, when we see the Rams in January, it's going to be a very different game than you saw Sunday. So we'll see what happens. A lot of season left.
Absolutely, yo. So let's start off with this interview. And Justin, before we got to Florida State, I wanted to talk about your high school career, man. You were quite the player. You grew up in Memphis, Tennessee, and you had quite the career when it came to high school basketball. In your junior and senior year at Christian Brothers High, you went 57-3 while also making an appearance in the state championship for both of those seasons. So what were some of your favorite moments that you kind of still remember from those deep, deep playoff runs you guys used to make year in and year out?
Yeah, so my junior year, we had a really good season. We were 29-0 going into the state championship, and we had a chance to play Brentwood Academy, which had Darius Garland, who plays for the Cavs now. And We eventually came up short. We blew a pretty bad lead, 17 points in the third quarter. But, you know, that was one of an elite year, and it was the first time our program had that good of a record ever. So that was pretty awesome. But I'm hoping I can change those tides in college this year and get some wins. And then my senior year was good too as well, 28-2. But definitely my junior year was the most memorable for me. And I'm hoping FSU can make a deep run like that and make it to a national championship. And, you know, if we did that, we already know we're becoming a basketball school, but it would be crazy in Tallahassee if we could make it that far. So I'm hoping for that this year.
Yeah, absolutely. We had Matt Cleveland on, and when he came on, he was like, man, I always hear people talking about Sweet 16, Sweet 16s. He's like, nah, we have been to the Sweet 16 before. We want to go further. We want to go back to the Elite Eight. We want to go to the Final Four, and we want to get a national championship. So I love that mentality. Cam, take it away.
Yeah, so Justin, obviously you were a key part of those teams back in high school, and you were well respected enough by your teammates to be named captain your senior year. Along with that, you were also awarded first team all region, and you were the MVP of the Fort Walton Beach blowout. So if you didn't know, me and Aaron played a little basketball back in high school. So we used to watch like certain players and try to add moves to our bags. Clearly we weren't as good as you are. But speaking of that, if you haven't watched our latest episode with Dre Fuller, go back, watch that episode, and then come back and finish this one. But Dre Fuller used to just put me and Aaron in the torture chamber, and now he's putting buckets up for UCF. So who are some of your favorite players to watch in the NBA? Were they more defensive-minded guys, passers or scorers, or who did you look up to when you were growing up?
Yeah, growing up, my favorite player always was LeBron James. But mostly my favorite attribute is passing. And ever since I've been at FSU, I've had the chance to throw some pretty cool lobs to some of our elite players like Jonathan Isaac, Terrence Mann, Patrick Williams. So I've had a pretty elite athleticism like with the passes that I was able to throw. But my favorite player has always been LeBron because of his passing, pass first mentality. And then he also, you know, he also has that the athleticism as well. And I see him as my GOAT, of course. But other players that I also watched, you know, to try to get my, you know, skills from were like players like Steve Nash and John Stockton, because they're just elite, you know, more my type, you know, my size, and they got white, they're a little white, so they're not as athletic, but they use their passing and their elite skills to, you know, set themselves apart. So those are players that I always watched growing up, and those are probably my three favorite players in the NBA too.
So I got to ask, out of all the lobs you've thrown, which one was your most memorable? Like, who caught it? Like, when was it?
I think probably the year Patrick Williams was here. I got a steal on the fast break, and we were running together, and I threw him one, and he dunked on one of our seven-footers, and we all got super hyped after that. So that's probably one of my favorite lobs that I threw, definitely.
Yeah, so I know you mentioned John Stockton. If you didn't know, I'm a Bulls fan. So are you a big MJ hater because that boy took two rings away from your boy Stockton?
I wouldn't say like at that point, like I was a lot younger, so I didn't really like follow them as much. I just watched his highlights like once I got a little bit older. So no disrespect. And I got to respect such a winner that, you know, just dominates year in and year out. So I can't disrespect MJ. But, you know, I wasn't frustrated about that. But, you know, John Stockton definitely, you know, he had it cut out for him playing the Bulls year in and year out.
You think Stockton would still be the same player in today's NBA?
I don't know. It's hard to say, honestly, but he is like a Steve Nash type player. So Steve Nash was able to get it done in our era. So it's hard to say because it's like completely different times, but I feel like it is a different time, and you kind of need a lot more athleticism these days or else you're not able to survive. So it's hard to say, but I think he would still be able to, you know, adapt and figure it out.
Yeah, I'm not sure if John Stockton would be running up down the floor with Russell Westbrook, though.
Yeah, for real.
Speaking of players in the NBA, you have a good relationship with current Warriors center James Wiseman. In fact, the Florida State coaching staff stated in a sit-down with him that your relationship with James, who was the number one recruit back in 2019, played a key role in helping FSU get close to landing him. If he did end up coming to Florida State, I felt like it would have been like KD going to the Warriors, which is completely unfair. But how did you and James become so close, and how close were we to actually landing him?
I don't know exactly how close we were to landing him because once you have Penny Hardaway in the mix, I feel like it's hard to say no, kind of. And right. Being from Memphis, and Penny Hardaway had coached him basically since he was like in middle school and high school, and was his high school coach as well before he went to Memphis. So it was really hard for like us to get a gauge. But when he was here, he actually told a lot of us, oh, he wasn't going to go to Memphis and he was going to commit here. But, you know, I feel like ultimately Penny was too much to say no to. And then basically I just knew him like a little bit being in Memphis and watching high school basketball all the time and being around it and actually like playing against East High where he went. So I knew him well, and then like somewhat well. And then when he came here, like I got to know him even better and talked to him for a while and took him around and kind of like hosted him a little bit. So that, you know, really helped. And I think it was between us and Memphis, honestly, but like I said, Penny Hardaway, hard to say no to that.
Once Memphis dropped that bag on him, it was probably a little different too. I mean, you saw the NCAA violations, you saw the sanctions come down on him. Was it 2 years ago now? So yeah, that definitely played a role as well. You know, it is what it is. It's all legal now. So
that's a good thing. Real. I've heard lately that Memphis is using this deal like with FedEx that were like, basically they just have like all their players, like big time recruits, sign FedEx deals, where they're like come FedEx sponsored athletes through NIL, and then they can make like a lot of money off that. And basically all they're doing is having to do like commercials for FedEx, and they're getting paid big amounts of money. So I feel like Penny's relationship with the owner of FedEx really helps that a lot too. And he can get recruits even easier because of that too. But coaches aren't supposed to be involved in that, but it's hard to think that they're not involved in that somewhat.
Definitely. The NIL thing is changing the whole landscape of college sports already, and it's just passed a couple months ago, which is crazy.
It's gonna be crazy to see how it evolves like in the coming years. Like this year is really like a tester on what's going to happen and stuff.
Very true. And it's crazy that some college football players are already making over six figures with it, close to a million. But
so
anyway,
Jake, let me cut you off really quickly before you get to your question. I saw a really, really cool video, or actually it was a podcast, when they were talking about the limits. What limit, where does this stop? Like, for example, we're seeing overtime next paying 17-year-olds $1.5 million to go and forego the high school basketball to go and kind of do like a reality TV show, like, you know, basketball league, where they're still playing against great talent, but they're not doing it for a school, or they're not doing it for an AAU program, where they can take that money even earlier. So I think the sky's the limit, like you said. Where does it stop? Where does this go to? But Jake, yeah, just get back to your question. Sorry for butting in.
No worries at all. That was a good point. But shifting the conversation back to you, Justin, you graduated high school back in 2016. What ultimately led you to go out of state and come to FSU?
Yeah, well, I've moved a lot in my life. So I was born in Ohio, but I moved from Ohio before I was even 1 year old. And I lived in Orlando. I lived in Maui, Hawaii. I lived in Peachtree City, Georgia. And then I also lived in Memphis. And then so when I was looking for college, it didn't really matter to me where it was. I just wanted to be, you know, wherever I fit. So I came and visited several different schools, including Florida and Florida State and Tennessee, Memphis, and several different other schools. And ultimately, when I visited FSU, the campus was crazy nice, and I just really liked it when I was here. Kind of felt like home to me. And I knew some other friends that were going to come here as well. So that's ultimately what made me decide to come. And I didn't even know if I was going to be able to play for the basketball team at all. And then my coach had a connection with our associate head coach. And then I was able to get like a walk-on tryout after a while. And then me and Harrison Prieto, who's also on the team, had a tryout with about like three or four others. And then ultimately we got selected to be on the team. So it all worked out. But ultimately I've been moving my whole life. So it wasn't really like it mattered where I went to college. And this ultimately felt like home when I came and visited. So everything ended up working out pretty well.
Yeah, you mentioned Peachtree, Georgia. So you talked about passers also. Are you a big Trae Young fan too? Because Trae Young's a great passer, and they had those Peachtree jerseys. So that's why it popped up in my head.
Yeah. Whenever he was in college and he was playing at Oklahoma, I used to tell all of our players on scout team that I play like Trae Young when I was on scout team. And because he would always hit like crazy step backs and make crazy dimes too. So on green team, which is like our scout team, I really have the green light to do what I want. So I kind of try to play however I want. And one of the players that I like was trying to play with like was him. So definitely that's pretty cool. And it's awesome to see him balling out in Atlanta as well.
So going on the walk-on stuff, I played college baseball at NYU for my undergrad. I have extra eligibility because of COVID. I'm trying to walk on this season's baseball team. So could you take us through the process of how you walked on the basketball team a little more and how that whole thing kind of happened?
Yeah, so I kind of gave you a kind of slight gist, but our head coach in Memphis knows the associate head coach here, Stan Jones. So they're able to get in contact. And then I set up like a meeting with them and had to go through all types of tests and heart tests and stuff before I was able to get a trial. And then we had a single day tryout where everyone went on their own. So all six of the players had individual tryouts. And then the next day we all went together in a group setting and we played against some of like the GAs there, and Coach Jones and other coaches watched it as well. And they filmed it. And so we all had to go through that process. And then it was just like a wait out process. And then eventually they called both of us back and let us know that we made the team. And then once we made the team, we only got to just practice and we didn't get to dress out for the games the first year, but we did get to travel everywhere. And then slowly as the years have gone by after that first year, we were able to dress out every game, travel everywhere, just like our first year. And from there, just like kind of blossomed into our where our roles are now.
So like you said, you've been here for a little bit. You've seen FSU really build a program up from an unranked team to a team that's always in contention for the national title, going to Elite Eights, Sweet 16s every year. If you're listening to this, go check out the link we're going to put in the description. It's a YouTube video about the Green Vipers, which you touched on a little bit earlier about the green team. So our walk-ons are the Green Vipers. They're called that because they're green pennies that they wear is the scout team. And they embody FSU basketball, the heart and the hustle, do everything they can to help the team win. And one of their responsibilities as a scout team is they watch film on opponents, try to mimic their tendencies, their play styles, their shot selections on offense and defense to try to help out the main guys, try to help them. Oh, this team's going to do that. This team's going to do that. Here's how we can stop it. Here's what we can do. So doing this week in and week out, it's got to be really hard. But you guys love the role. You even said that we love to go head to head with those guys. Could you give us an inside view on what it's like to be in that role? And do you have any memorable moments of when you guys just like killed them in a scrimmage or went full Jimmy Butler on them?
Yeah. We have a lot. Like once me and Harrison started to get a little older, and me and Travis and Will, all four of us were kind of the people that brought up the green team. So once we started to get a little older, it came to the point where we can't really stop them on defense at all, but we can definitely cook them up on offense. So like we always take pride in that. And myself being, I'm a really big trash talker. So whenever we have a chance to like cook them up, I always talk a lot of trash, and that gets me going and gets everyone going, and it gets the team riled up, and then they want to try to get stops even more. So basically during the season, we come in with the coach that scouted is, and we go over film and we like walk through all the plays that they do. And so once we walk through like probably their top 6 to 10 sets, we just try to memorize those. And then each practice we do them in live action. And at the end, there's like a little portion where we strictly do all their plays and they try to go against us. And then also we play defense, whatever they want, man, 2-3, whatever type of zones they play. We just play defense for that and try to get stops. But one of the most memorable moments was Scotty and Jalen Green came on their visit 1 week. They came on a visit here when they were younger. And that we were playing against the main team, and it was like transition offense, and we hit like 6 threes in a row, and we were talking hella trash, and everyone was waving their like they had Jalen Green and Scotty waving their green pennies and going crazy on the sideline. And so that was one of the most memorable times I've had. But honestly, every time I step out there, I think it's memorable because I shoot deep threes and I talk hella trash. So that's what it's all about for me.
So every Friday, I'm not a certified hooper, but every Friday we always go out Thursday night. So Friday morning we're hungover and we say, you know what? Let's sweat it out. Let's sweat out the alcohol. So we go to Leech, 10:30. Everyone knows. And when we go there, we tell the people who are already there, hey, we do this every week. And now we have people when we're walking in waiting for us to get there because they know we just want to get a good 10 in the morning and run it. But I am the also biggest shit talker. I yell and one a lot. Like, if I catch you with an and one, I'm going to yell it. You're going to hear me because I'm 5'9 on a splendid day. So my friends are like 6'2", 6'3". When I'm going up, you got to protect it, put the shoulder in, come on with the and one. And they always get so mad because I yell it, and the whole gym can hear me yell it, man. It's crazy.
Doesn't even matter if he makes the shot, too. It could not matter. Still yelling it.
My conversion rate, man.
Aaron better pray whenever he's guarding Aaron. Aaron better pray he makes his first three, because if Aaron misses that first shot, Jay's coming for his neck right away.
Hey, I was a bucket last week. 2 weeks ago, I was down bad, but last week I was hitting my shots, so I'll take it. But another quick tidbit when you talk about Jalen Green came out his visit. People forget we were in his final four schools before he committed to the G League. So we almost got Jalen Green that year too, which would have been insane.
So you're still close with a lot of the NBA and overseas FSU Hoops alumni, but I wanted to focus on one in particular, which is Trent Forrest. He delivered a body bag in the tuck, as we all know. We were in the stadium for that, and I think, in my opinion, that was the loudest it's ever been. And I go to a lot of games. What was it like to actually be on the court for that, like being ground level on the floor, because that place was shaking, and I just wonder what the bench reaction was probably like.
Yeah, I agree with you. I've been here for like, this is my 6th year, so it definitely, that was the loudest game in the tuck ever by far. So I'll agree with you on that one. And then being on the bench, it was just electric. I don't know if you've seen the video, but I'm on the sideline doing this like this, like going crazy. And I was talking hella trash as usual to the other players. And so it was one of the most electric atmospheres I've ever been in my life. So that was awesome. And it's probably one of the best games that I've been a part of too.
Yeah, quick question. I was going to ask, when you saw Trent on the fast break, when did you realize, like, oh, wait, he's not trying to lay this up? Was it right before he jumped or what?
Once he caught it, I could see the look in his eye, honestly, the way he was dribbling downhill. And I've seen him do it so many times where he goes up on people. I knew about the three-point line that he was going to try to dunk on him. And it was bad. And he put him in a body bag for sure.
Pretty sure that was on Jordan Nwora too. Not like it was on a scrub. It was on a legit NBA player. So,
yeah, sure, Jordan Nwora, he just won a championship with the Bucks. But I always say, man, he is forever in Florida State lore for being the dude who got put in a body bag, like you said.
Yeah, and like I saw on Wikipedia the next day, someone had like changed the thing and said like, this is Trent Forrest's son, and like changed the thing on Wikipedia. So that was pretty funny too.
That was awesome. That was probably my favorite moment in the tuck since I've been at Florida State, and a lot of people's. When we're interviewing for the Null Zone and we ask the applicants, what's your favorite moment? They all tend to say that. So it resonates with so many people. But in the past, we talked with Terrence Mann on the podcast and we asked him how it felt to play at home. And he said, quote, I never thought we were going to lose in the tuck. Shit, we'd be down 10 and I still knew we were going to win. We play Miami, Duke, and NC State at home this season. How confident are you that this year's team is going to go all the way?
I definitely don't think we're going to lose in a home game. Ever since I've been here, I can't really remember how many we've lost. And if we do, it's definitely not usual or anything like that. Really, at this point, I'm honestly confident that we're going to make it to the Final Four. The year that COVID got stopped, I almost was positive that we were going to win it all. And our team was so elite, and we just had like a bond that was unlike any other. Last year's team was pretty great too, but it was just like the COVID thing. We didn't have a summer together. We usually have to come on campus in May and spend the whole summer and like kind of start becoming like a team and everything and learning everything. And we didn't really have that last year, so I think it hurt us a lot, especially late in the season. But that year, I thought that we were definitely going to win it, and I thought we were going to make a deep run, especially with having such – like good senior leadership and also having young talent as well. But I'm pretty confident this year too. I feel like we have a lot of old knowledge on our team that's really good too. And then we have a lot of young talent, and our depth is crazy this year. I think we're going to be able to play at least 12, 13 players deep. So you never know whose game it will be. So honestly, I'm confident that we're going to make it to the Final Four, and I really think we can bring a national championship back to Tallahassee too.
Yeah, so with all the time you've spent at FSU, you've had – lots of good teammates over the years, but especially there's a few rookies that are really hoping to be impact players of their new squads, such as Raekwon Gray in Brooklyn, MJ Walker in New York, and obviously Scotty in Toronto. How do you see these guys working out with their new teams, and what do each of them bring to that new squad?
Yeah, Scotty, he's just such a unique talent, and his length is just crazy, and I think he'll have an immediate impact, and he's going to have a big role just because he was such a high pick, and he can really fit in so many different roles. So he can play with the ball, he can play off the ball, and he can play in so many different ways. So and he really impacts the game on defense as well. So I think he's going to have an immediate impact, and especially he's going to be able to play defense really well, which is going to help out Toronto. And I think they'll make it back to the playoffs again this year. MJ, he's on his training camp deal. What he really brings to the table is crazy athleticism and defense. So he's really intense on defense and then knockdown three-point shooting. So I think he'll be able to impact the game that way. And then Turk is just like a versatile player that just can do it all. And he can really pass the ball well. He can handle the ball well. No one can really guard him. Like when he was here, he used to get mad about it, but I used to call him the Zion stopper because like no one could stop Zion. But he was such a big body that he can stop Zion so easily. And then like the way he can move with the ball and everything like that when he's such a big size, I think that's going to be like something that sets him apart, especially moving forward. He might not have immediate impact this year, but moving on in the future, I think, especially once he gets his body right into the right, you know, thing, he's going to be like a Draymond Green type impact, and he's going to be all over the floor. So I'm excited to see those three rookies go in.
Yeah, so two quick things on Raekwon, man. Raekwon, whenever I watch him, I'm just like, drive in. Because the second you put a shoulder into someone or give them a body, they're flying back. It's just bully ball, you know? How many times do you see him put the shoulder in? Easy layup right there. Then the second thing is, hopefully, I think what may happen is the Nets will be in a lot of blowouts this season, which hopefully means Raekwon can get some playing time on the Nets if he's not on that two-way or he's not in the G League team or the – is it? Yeah, the G League team now. So hopefully he can kind of prove this season too, and when kind of like garbage time that, yo, I'm a player too. And imagining him playing next to Kyrie or Harden and Kevin Durant is just absolutely ridiculous, man.
Yeah, for sure. And even if he doesn't play for them, if he has a chance to, you know, even move somewhere else and get another deal, I think he'll be able to impact the game as well.
So me personally, I'm a Bulls fan, so I have to ask about Pat Will. What can he do to take the next step and really help that Bulls team with all the additions they got in the offseason with DeMar DeRozan and Lonzo? How can he help them take the next step to take the Bulls back to the playoffs where they belong?
The one thing for him is I think he has all that it takes is just kind of getting the experience he needs. So when he was like a rookie last year, it's just hard for him to know exactly what's coming for him, just like he was in college. So really just, you know, learning from his vets. And, you know, being aggressive, because whenever he played aggressive for us and whenever he played aggressive last year, he was able to get things done. So using his frame, playing the way he does on defense, but, you know, really just taking whatever shots he feels that he has. So just playing with confidence is going to be it for him. And then, you know, we continue to learn from his veterans year in and year out, because he's got a lot of people that were really good to look up to.
Yeah, absolutely. Pat Will. Shout out to him, man. I remember his rookie season. It was the first month, and I think in the first month, he already had to guard Kawhi and LeBron. And in LeBron's post game, LeBron even shouted him out saying, dude, I respect him because he took the job. How many rookies who are 18, 19 years old want to come and guard me in their, you know, first month? But he said, hey, I got a kudos to the kid because he actually stepped up and did that. So big shout out to Pat Will. If any of these NBA teams would be listening, you have to get FSU players because they play defense, lockdown. We see Trent Forrest playing lockdown defense. Terrence Mann in the playoffs is guarding Devin Booker. They're making T-Man guard D-Book, not Paul George, not Kawhi Leonard, not players like that, but T-Man. So you're seeing the results when you are drafting these FSU players. But I want to shift it to Jake really quick and kind of get back into Noel's zone. I wanted to kind of ask you about maybe what you guys have in the works at Noel Zone and how you founded Noel Zone in the first place, because Cam and I are student section leaders for this year coming up, which means we will be talking shit literally courtside to the opposing bench, because that's where we're going to be seated every time. If you have any ideas, anything you want to throw at us for costumes or just ideas that we should wear, any themes, let us know, because you guys probably will be able to hear us at the free throw line and you guys will be laughing, because the stuff we're going to be coming up with is going to be super creative.
Yeah, super excited to have both of you on the student section leaders team this year. But going back to how Noel Zone was founded, 2019 season in the fall semester, so when it was just starting up, this guy named Andrew Levine, who was on Student Boosters, had the idea to create Noel Zone. He just wanted to create a brutal environment for any road team that was coming and playing in the Tuck. And so he started recruiting people, talking to his friends, And we developed into kind of five different groups who are in the null zone, which is social media. We have recruitment. We have one sheets. So it's just a sheet of paper that we pass out in the student section that talks about our roster, their roster, and then we dig up dirt on the other team. So that's a lot of fun. We have a promotions team, and lastly, the student section leaders. So we've been growing each year that we've been around. We're super excited for this season with it not being like it was last with COVID. But a lot of things are in the works right now. We're expanding to other smaller sports like soccer. We're going to have a theme night with them October 28th against Virginia. As you know, they're number one in the country. So that's going to be exciting. We're going to bring a lot of people out. But this season in the Tuck, there's going to be a ton of people dressing up, a ton of people painting up. We got fat heads ordered for every player on the team, including Justin. Super excited about that. It's going to be a great time, great environment. We've only lost 4 home games in the last 4 seasons in the Tuck. That's a great stat, and we're getting more and more recognition. So that's exactly what we want to do.
Yeah, absolutely. The best thing that you can do is support our athletes who are representing this school to the utmost ability right now, man. FSU basketball, like Justin said earlier, we are super deep. If you look at our guard rotation, Jalen Worley, Justin, Caleb Mills, you can keep going down. Matt Cleveland is going to be playing some guards. So just a lot of people. John Butler, when he came on, said he was recruited, and they said, we don't want you playing center, John. We want you shooting the ball and being on the perimeter. So it's going to be really interesting just to, you know, really get into the crowd again, get into the stadium with a full pack Tucker Center and experience that again. But we're going to take a quick break, and when we get back, we have a lightning round. Justin, you'll love this. Don't go anywhere.
So as I mentioned earlier, the Tampa Bay Lightning look to defend their championship again for the second year this year. So in honor of that, we're going to have a little lightning round for Justin with some quick questions. He's going to give us quick answers. So let's see what he thinks. First one, John Stockton or Steve Nash?
John Stockton.
Okay. Giannis.
Steve Nash has 2 MVPs. I'm sorry. Steve Nash has 2 MVPs. So are you saying that John Stockton?
All-time assist leader, though. Come on.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm all about the assists, so I got to go with that. Yeah.
I got you.
There. Next question, Giannis or Kevin Garnett?
Giannis.
Okay. More athletic in their prime, D. Rose or Russell Westbrook?
Make the right choice.
Tough one. Russell.
You got to go Russell? Yep. All right. I mean, it's a good – D. Rose is super explosive, but, oh, man, yeah, Russ was catching bodies all the time.
So, Justin, who are your top 3 players all time?
I'm going to have to go with LeBron, MJ, and the last one's going to be hard for me, but I think eventually it'll be Kevin Durant.
Ooh, Jay, that's got to hurt.
I mean, I was going to ask you this when the James Wiseman part came up, but – screw it, we can do it now. I can't get over him joining a 73-9 team after he was up 3-1. I always say it's not about going to the Warriors. It's about the principle, man. If I lose in Pong, I'm saying, fuck it, we're running it back. If I lose in a game of hardwood with my boys that I've known for 6 years, fuck it, we're running it back. I'm not going to join the other team, but that's just me, man. So KD, as good as he is, the talent's there, which makes me so mad because if you're that good, you can score on anybody. You're a bucket. You don't need to join the team that just dethroned you. You were a game away. You were a game away from seeing KD on the Thunder versus LeBron and Kyrie on the Cavs. That would have been a great finals too. Kind of like how we missed out on Kobe and LeBron when LeBron couldn't beat the Magic that one season. We got Dwight.
Hey, put some respect on the Magic. Put some respect on the Magic. Come on now.
KD, how do you feel about that move? Or do you really even care about it? Because if you think about it, man, LeBron won in 2016, and then they added KD. LeBron right now should be at 5 looking for 6, in my opinion.
Yeah, I understand your point, definitely. I think if I was Kevin Durant, I personally wouldn't have made that decision. But based on like straight skills and the talent he has at his size, that's just why I give him the nod. But if I think about that more, the way Kobe was and the way he never changed teams and he kind of thugged it out and never wanted to join any super team like that, I could give him the nod at number 3 too.
Yeah, absolutely. What's it called? LeBron, since you're a LeBron fan too, there was a KG quote saying, "Yeah, we broke LeBron. The Celtics, yeah, we broke LeBron." And I was like, it was 4-1 when he was 22 years old, and you made him go to Miami. The Miami Heat weren't even a playoff team the year before that season. So do not give any comparisons for people who are trying to compare that move to Miami and the move to the Golden State Warriors, yo.
I swear Jay's got that monologue written on his wall.
I'm just saying.
Justin, who's the hardest player you've ever had to guard?
That's a tough one. I'll probably have to say it's a tie between Trent and Scottie. Scottie is just he's just so long, and me being a point guard, he was playing point guard last year, so it's like it's just crazy hard to guard him. Like he just always find a way to get past me, or post me up or something like that. And also he's a better shooter than a lot of people think he is. So especially in practice, he was able to show that off a lot. So probably him or Trent, because Trent he just has a lot in his bag, and especially once he get into a special mode, it's crazy for him. Especially like you've seen it late in the game, he can just take over a game by himself and just make play after play. And he's just crazy hard to guard, even though he wasn't that as great of a jump shooter as well. He just always finds a way to get to a spot and cook people up at a high rate. So probably one of them too. And it probably could have a chance to be someone else like Terrence Mann, but just being a point guard, usually someone else would be guarding him more. So I liked playing with him a lot too. And when I did get the chance to guard him, it was tough for me to guard him too as well.
Jay and I talk about this all the time. Shout out to David Nichols, by the way, for BGU. But I love how like Florida State's always got these huge point guards. Like Scottie played power forward in high school, and like you don't see a whole lot of teams rolling up with 6'9" point guards. And the fact that they recruited John Butler again to play guard, and he's like 7'1". Like I just love that. Like Florida State's always like changing the norm, I would say, for like a standard basketball. Cause like John was saying, like even obviously like in high school, there's not a lot of 7 footers. So like they just always put him at center automatically. But he said the fact that he'll get some opportunities to play on the perimeter is what made him want to come to Florida State.
Yeah, the thing with Coach Ham is he doesn't really care who's bringing up the ball. He likes to think about his defensive lineups, and he wants to switch 1 through 5 all the time. So as long as he's got length out there, he doesn't care about anything, who's bringing the ball up, who's handling the ball, or anything like that. As long as they can switch 1 through 5 and they can handle the ball, he doesn't care. So that's what he has in mind.
Yeah, going back to Scottie for 1 second, he must be really hard to guard because when we saw him at FSU, he's really good with those touch floaters around the rim. Where, even if you're a small defender, he'll just give you a little turn, 6 footer, 7 footer. Maybe he even plays the glass on it sometimes. But yeah, Scottie's really good. I can't wait to see him on the Raptors. And I said if he was going to go to any team, it would have been the Raptors. Masai Ujiri is a great, great GM. He knew what he was going to get with Scottie Barnes, and there's kind of people kind of like his physique, like OG Anunoby, who's there, and Pascal Siakam, who are longer, good defenders also. So I think there'll be immediate impact there. But that'll wrap up the podcast interview for today. So let's start off with the sign-offs. Cam, as always, thank you for coming on, man. Great episode.
Yeah, thank you, Justin. Of course, it was great to have you on. Love hearing about your insight, especially about the Green Vipers. That was really cool to hear about.
So, going to our next co-host, Aaron, thank you for coming on today, man. Thank you.
It's been great to be here. Justin, thanks again so much for coming on. Can't wait to watch some Florida State basketball in the Tuck this year, man. It's going to be an awesome season. Really looking forward to it. Let's get it. Let's go.
And then lastly, Jake, before we get to our special guest, Jake, thanks for coming on, man. Thanks for giving Cam and I the opportunity to be student section leaders. I think you will soon realize that this will pay off greatly as we talk copious amounts of shit. So it's going to go hand in hand with what you guys are trying to do. I can't wait.
Super pumped. I know we've only been talking with each other for about 2 weeks now, but I can already see the energy. I'm super excited for this season. It was great being on the podcast today. Definitely want to come on in the future for sure. And just last thing, Justin, thanks for speaking with us. We really appreciate it, and we're excited to support you this season.
Definitely gonna be there.
Yeah, Jake, before we wrap this up, do you want to talk about how our like followers can follow Null Zone on social media and stuff like that?
Yeah, of course. So we are on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, We are now on TikTok and YouTube, just kind of starting those up. But our main point of contact is Instagram, and that is at NullZoneFSU. So throw us a follow there.
Absolutely. And then last but not least, our special guest for today, Justin. This was actually a really good interview. It's actually like kind of cool to hear everything you thought, actually talking to these people and to giving us the inside look, kind of like a fly on the wall of what it was kind of like being there, because I didn't know that you were pulling up from three and talking shit. I didn't know that you were that type of player. So it's really dope to kind of find that out. Thanks for coming on again.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, one thing, I made a couple mixtapes of my practice highlights before. So if you haven't had a chance to check those out, you can check those out. And I call myself the garbage time gorilla because, you know, I always get in garbage time and go crazy. So
that's the name yeah. of the episode right there.
That's the name.
The garbage time gorilla. It's great to be on. And thank you so much for having me. And, you know, I'll hope to see you guys around this year, definitely for sure. And hope to see you guys at a lot of games, and check me out on the bench because I'll be talking trash just along with you guys too.
Send me that link though, so we can attach your highlights to the bottom of the episode.
Oh yeah, we'll absolutely post that on our Instagram. The garbage time. How did that name come? Because that is a hilarious name.
Well, after my senior year, my regular senior year, it was my first time actually getting some playing time at like towards the end of the games. And I had like some decent passes and buckets. So I put together a mixtape during COVID when I had nothing to do. And then I was just trying to think of like captions for it. And then it just popped in my head. And then last year I was able to make another mostly practice highlight tape, because in game I didn't produce as much as senior year, but I still had some nice dimes, but not as many buckets. So I made a lot of my practice highlights as well. So I have those two, and then it just kind of popped in my head, so I went with it.
Awesome, man. Those are great stories. Thank you again. For everyone listening, keep up with what we do at the website, www.lockitorleaveit.org. Follow us on Instagram, Twitter, everything, TikTok. That's Cam doing a great job on TikTok, so thank you guys for that. But until then, man, we'll see y'all later. Thanks. Peace.